This is Chris Hansen.
Chad doing Rip City Radio here.
This is Jamie Hudson.
This is TJ Houshmandzadeh.
And I'm going to let you all know something.
You're listening to
It Just Makes Sense.
It Just Makes Sense.
We are sports. We are nostalgia. We are pop culture. And we're funny sometimes.
I think overall we're just a good time.
They thought we couldn't do it. But guess what?
We're back.
Podcasts are free and we can do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
We never knew what we were doing in the first place.
Yeah, that is a good point.
I think Michigan is still a great team. I think Harbaugh is still a great coach. And I think they'd be in a very similar position whether or not they did this.
And imagine mentally, you knew what play is coming and you can't stop it. What does that do to you?
And that is a great catch for an Oregon State touchdown. Caleb Smith with a tremendous catch.
You can't sit here and be like, Justin Herbert's trash, he's a fraud, whatever. No, he's doing all the things he's supposed to do.
And who are we
speaking of losing,
to call people out on losing bets, okay? We suck at betting.
And remember, don't be afraid to fade yourself.
Is that your final answer?
With teenagers?
Strongest would be Family Feud for me.
I do love me some Steve Harvey. No, it's on.
Family Feud is, they're just doing a survey on idiots at the mall. Like, I have a better chance of getting
Family
that.
Feud.
Family Feud is also the least skillful of the four.
Yeah, that's why I would take that. Yeah. Better chance of winning the money.
Wheel of Fortune. I don't know what it is, but I can, my brain just can see it.
I'm not good at Wheel of Fortune.
That would be second for me, Wheel of Fortune, like guessing words.
Guessing words.
You just, what do you have pulled up here?
Okay, so HDMI means high definition multimedia interface.
Oh,
idiot.
Yeah.
So close.
You were the closest.
I was very close.
I think intake was the closest.
What do you intake?
High definition macaroni intake.
Let's see. Can we hear that level again over there?
Testing, testing.
Yeah, we'll get you up there.
Caleb, you want a brown dart?
Braxton.
Maybe after a couple more sips of this.
Yeah. One more time.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello!
Jesus, I hate when you do that.
Does it work?
Hello. Is that good?
There's a lot of hot air going on. We knew this was going to be tough. I'm touching all of your
fuck
knees.
Is on TV.
I'm comfortable.
Can you feel that connection?
Nice. I thought that was a bear for a second. Is that
a
tumbleweed?
Gigantic tumbleweed, yeah.
I thought it was a bear.
That's some Midwest shit for
that
sure.
Was a bear?
Right when it was on the road.
Looks like
he doesn't have very good vision.
The man can't see. The man
right
cannot
there. See. That's kind of a gigantic bear.
It's still a tumbleweed to me.
It's a big old bear.
It'll change.
This man lost his vision for a year, and he can see better than you.
Well, it wasn't that long, but still.
Yeah.
It hasn't even been a year.
That's true.
You think your vision's back to where it was now?
No, it never will be. I will probably forever have this little light spot.
A little bot. And you can still see that it's a tumbleweed.
I can. Everything else, though, has gone back to 2020.
Yeah.
But it's not to the point where you have to wear glasses?
Where's the light spot at?
It's like if I'm looking at the iPhone right there, it's like directly under the iPhone. And it's probably like as big as my fist is where I'm holding it.
But it's not like where you're looking directly.
No, it's right under it. Huh. Still annoying.
How does that? Yeah. How is that when you're driving?
It's
like headlights,
fine.
Oncoming headlights.
I don't drive
it's
at
like
night.
Like a permanent online headlight.
Yeah,
fuck. Yeah. And he still knows that you're ugly as shit too. So,
Ooh, got him.
He waited 18 seconds to drop that. And I had to just drop.
Let's just let this lull here figure itself out. Well, that baritone that you hear is not mine. It is actually a voice that we have heard before on this podcast, boys. I do have an intro for him now that we talk about it.
Dude, would you get a special intro?
The man gets a special intro.
You're not just going to plug it in into the beginning? Not.
Video from Braxton's wedding.
Oh, I will plug it into the beginning.
A fly play today. Mannion going to the corner. And that is a great catch for an Oregon State touchdown. Caleb Smith with a tremendous catch.
And it was P.I. And it was also P.I.
It was. And one.
Double cover.
And one.
Very impressive. Very impressive.
A go-ahead TD.
Welcome back to the show, Caleb Smith.
We're back.
We're back. So exciting.
I will say when we were looking for this clip, because I knew we could find one. It's not terribly difficult. But I did find that video of you calling Gary Anderson or whatever coach.
Tight end coach for Oregon State.
It was Riley?
See, it was Riley. I was right.
And then you told him. Right? Yeah. And you had your jersey on. You were number one in high school.
Yeah, dude.
Great tight end number.
Can we play that shit?
But
it's like a 6-minute video.
It is. It is quite a
it's
long video.
Shit,
and you
is.
And you have these gauges in with like diamonds.
Yeah, I was.
You were balling. Yeah, you were balling. And I noticed because I've met your parents before, and your dad, I don't think looked up towards like the camera or towards anybody in the room the entire time. He was just kind of chilling.
Yeah, yeah.
Did Coach Riley know you were going to call him? Was that whole thing scripted? Because, like, he answered pretty quickly.
I mean, it wasn't like Riley didn't know. It was like we knew what we were doing when we started the video.
Got
like, it was planned out in that sense, but, yeah, it was a very overproduced commitment.
Was that just you guys recording, or did you have, like, a news crew?
I was with...
it was, like, Oregon Live or something.
No, I was with Taylor Barton. He ran a bunch of, like, high school camps. I went to a bunch of schools with him, and he helped me train throughout high school, and he had just launched his website. And that was, like, one of his first videos he posted on his YouTube channel at the time.
And what was the other schools that you were going for that you were thinking about?
Arizona State, UCLA.
I also thought it was funny when you were like, I've gone, I've seen the world.
Oh, yeah. As an 18-year-old.
It's cringe. I've watched it since as well, and it's like, that was bad.
You went to Arizona and California.
Yeah.
I went to Arkansas.
That's true. You told me about that. But hey, you had experiences that none of us can talk about. So,
except for Miguel, who claimed that he was a recruit at Washington State or in Moscow, Idaho, right?
Yeah, that was a great 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, Caleb, we're happy to have you. Welcome back to the pod.
Thanks for having me back, boys.
Very excited to have you back. And on Thanksgiving week, and we do this because it is... rivalry week, and we're going to be talking a lot about that. We were talking a little bit earlier while we were getting ready for the pod just about, like, you know, overrated things about Thanksgiving and all kinds of stuff. And I am curious what you guys think. I mean, like you said, so Caleb, you said you're doing a prime rib for Thanksgiving. Is that what's going on?
That's what's going on. Yeah, I talked everybody out of the turkey idea, and the drawback to that is now I'm buying a prime rib tomorrow, so
that's like four times as expensive.
Oh, probably more.
You went from $40 to $250,
120.
Yeah, like one. I think it's like gonna be $190 or $200, somewhere in that range. That
sounds about it'll right. be worth it.
Yeah,
it
will it'll be awesome.
No, I'm happy with the decision for sure.
What
time should we be over?
Yeah, what time?
If you want to drive to Wenatchee.
Wenatchee.
Oh, yeah, that's not. I thought Salem was no, easy. Man. Wenatchee. Fuck, man. I'm not driving.
Do you know how to do anything in a metropolitan? It seems like every time I see you, it's like nowhere in a city.
Yeah, I'm not a city dweller.
Not a city
much.
Dweller.
No.
Fuck the city.
But okay, so we were also talking too about. So I am very much like wondering if we will be the first generation, the millennials, to get rid of the turkey itself, and whether
tall order.
Right. I mean, maybe. I did. We looked this up. So a turkey, the reason why people ate turkeys was back in the 1800s or whatever, that they...
history lesson.
Yeah, we did a history lesson. It's kind of like the Naked Attraction show where we dabble in a little extra knowledge as we go.
Not at all.
Like it's not at all like that. Show. Okay.
No, you imagine not if good comparison. Naked Attraction dropped in like 2007? I would have been prime.
I would have been jacking off
yeah.
to that all the time.
I mean, Carson Daly would be the host.
I still yeah. did, but yeah.
Let's look at the labia. So wild. But yeah, so turkeys were meat birds. They were not like useful animals. So that's why they used turkeys. That's what Britannica says, guys. So they were meat birds. So that's why.
I feel like that's a harsh insult you could throw at somebody. Oh, you're just a fucking meat bird. You useless piece of shit.
You are such a worthless meat bird.
That is kind of like that show. Imagine getting judged for your lower half. Like a girl eliminates you.
That's a what they should call the show. You meat bird.
And was like, I don't like the look of your dick, so you're out.
Or I want a piece of that meat bird.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a smaller percentage. There's more people with their hearts getting broken. Like, your shit hooks to the left and it's too much foreskin. You're out.
That happens to the best of us.
A lot of foreskin and Naked Attraction.
Ton.
Yeah.
Ton. We watched that
on my birthday. We subjected a bunch of people who had never heard of the show.
Birthday.
That's all Peter wanted.
Yeah, there was like a dozen people.
Nice circle
over.
Jerk.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you guys want to watch this?
It was more Lindsay who wanted that's to true. Subject people to wife. That, but... Braxton buried his head in pillows because he's never seen boobies before.
I haven't. And that's exactly what happened.
So, but yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Very excited. I was going to go back and kind of do the, you know, cliche things that we love and hate about Thanksgiving, but we've kind of done that before.
Yeah. What, this season 4?
Yeah. I feel and like
I think we've done that probably 3 times before.
Probably 3 times before. So now, but we haven't had Caleb on before. So overrated Thanksgiving dish, Caleb.
Yeah, what do you hate?
What do you hate?
Besides turkey.
Cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Cranberry sauce.
I don't know how that's a thing.
It's not even sauce. It's gelatinous.
Yeah, I get the sweet and salty, but I can find other things better than that.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
I would be totally
anti-cranberry sauce.
If it never appeared on the table.
And you know a way to get rid of cranberry sauce is to get rid of the turkey altogether. Good I don't point. Think that a cranberry sauce would exist if a turkey wasn't on the good table.
Not having cranberry sauce with prime rib.
Damn right.
Yeah, not doing that. You need a je.
A je?
Yeah.
A
je? Or a demi-glaze. Something like that.
Some bougie
ass shit. You know what they have? You know where they have demi-glaze? You know where they have demi-glaze? And this is something that I saw, and I can't believe it hasn't come up
this
before.
Boys to Men?
This is going to be Miguel's new favorite song. Boys to Men collabed with Chili's.
I want my baby back, baby back.
Baby back, baby back,
baby back, baby back.
Let's go.
I want my baby back. I want my baby back. I want my baby back.
Oh,
Chili's baby back ribs. Chili's baby back ribs. Chili's baby back ribs.
I want my baby back ribs.
Barbecue sauce.
Okay, so.
What a great song to listen to while you're sucking on the bone. Yeah.
I was going to say, would you fuck to that song?
I would eat ribs with that song.
What would you eat?
Ribs.
Oh, okay.
Wibs?
Ribs.
Okay. What did that have to do with demi-glaze?
I said that like a place where you wouldn't find demi-glaze was at Chili's.
You don't know that. Wow. When's the last time you've been to Chili's?
You think that they got a mushroom sauce?
Chili's has everything. How many times have you been to Chili's in your
life? Not many times. I mean, there's none in the area.
Yeah, I feel like it's more of like a Midwest,
East Coast thing. Last time I was at
there's
Chili's.
There's one in Washington. They're in California.
I know the exact time I was at a Chili's. It was when I was at the Oregon University of Virginia game in wherever.
Harrisburg?
Yeah, something Berg in Virginia, and that was like the only place that was open. And it was the first.
Good.
It was the first time that they ever had like a little like a digital thing where you could check out with on a little iPad.
Chili's fucking bomb.
It's pretty good.
What do you think about Applebee's?
I like Applebee's. I don't know why it gets so much hate.
Applebee's is slept on.
Yeah,
I do not like Applebee's.
He hates Applebee's. Ashley hates Applebee's. I'm like, what fucking Applebee's?
That surprises me about Ashley.
Burger? Let me get a quesadilla burger and a Long Island iced tea.
The saving grace of Applebee's is the quesadilla burger.
It's pretty good.
The wonton tacos at Applebee's is good. And remember, like back like 15 years ago, they had the half off appetizers where you can get like 20 wings for $7.
Yeah.
That was a tip.
I stopped liking Applebee's. I was dating this girl. And she was in the restaurant industry, and she had a friend who worked at Applebee's, and she told me that they literally, like, don't have grills. They, like, they have deep fryers and microwaves.
I don't care where they heated up my bottomless riblets when I was 12 years old, but I crushed riblets back in the day. Yeah. Those...
Where do they come from, the riblets?
I'm not even sure what a riblet is. Is it a short rib?
No, they're ribs that are chopped up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even remember.
I blacked out.
I think people that hate Applebee's are the same ones that will give you like a detailed description of every bite, like a fucking bougie ass motherfuckers.
For Ashley loving
it hits you in the back of the throat, like you can taste the paprika and all that shit.
Yeah.
Ashley loving Taco Bell makes me feel like she would love Applebee's. It feels like it's kind of in the same vein.
Hates Applebee's.
It feels like Applebee's is like a sit down version of like a Taco Bell. Is that too far fetched?
That's a little far fetched.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's
I'm here for the far fetched.
What about Subway? What do you guys think about Subway?
College.
I haven't had Subway in a long time.
Here's what I think about Subway. Subway is kind of like McDonald's. You don't have it all the time, and you'll get to like a year of not having it, and you're like, I could use one of this sweet onion chicken teriyakis, and you have it, and it reminds you how bad it is.
I knew you were a sweet onion teriyaki.
Sweet onion. And then it'll remind you how bad it is, and you don't eat it again.
You're also mixing it with like a Southwest sauce, aren't you?
I put all the sauces.
Yeah, see, like you're mixing the wrong things with
it. It's 50% sauce, I feel like, when you get it.
A lot of mayo.
You know what I hate about... So this is my main gripe with the Subways. How come they put on so many of the condiments except for the bell pepper? I always feel like they're skimping me on the bell pepper.
Bell pepper's not a condiment.
If you pester
not condiment. You know, just like the veggies.
If you pester them, they'll load you up.
Yeah, the veggies, they give you unlimited. Like, you can get as many veggies as you
want. I feel like I've had to go back.
You're just too much of a bitch to ask.
I suppose you're right.
And how many people are wanting to load up on green peppers over everything else?
Well, it's not load up on. No. I'm talking about green peppers, but they, like, put two on there.
I feel like
they're like a sacred vegetable.
The thing I didn't like about Subway is they'd always go so heavy on the lettuce.
Yeah, the lettuce is too much.
Too much lettuce.
My favorite thing about Subway is the spokespeople.
Yeah. They are pretty good.
I mean, they're trying to get anyone in the door.
Spokespeople.
You're talking about Jared?
Yeah.
they're trying to make up for it with Steph.
I thought you were talking about when Russell Westbrook was promoting the Flatiza. Remember that shit?
The flatbread shit.
The Flatiza?
They had a Flatiza. You don't remember that?
I do.
Is Jared still in jail?
Yes.
Prison?
Yes,
pretty sure.
Forever?
Yeah. Long time. Long, long time.
For child porn,
shockingly,
right?
Shockingly,
think so.
Not as long as you would think.
Right, yeah. It was like...
He'll get out when we're alive, that's for sure.
But. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like my band director when I was in middle school banged a bunch of girls at my middle school, and he's out of prison already, which is weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
You still talk?
Well, I'm pretty sure Jared was like trying to buy a kid from somebody. Like purchase
black market.
Like from the parents.
Oh my gosh.
Like I thought it was child porn. I thought he was caught with a bunch of things.
It might have, but it probably escalated.
Multiple things. He was doing all sorts of bad shit.
All right. See, this is Caleb. We brought you here to talk about sports, and you bring up Jared, and now we're talking about
Subway.
Predators is what we're doing. So,
Where does Subway rake in your sandwich places?
We had Chris Hansen and on, and we didn't talk about Predators as much.
Yeah, Jimmy Johns is at the bottom.
What?
Yes.
Really? Jimmy Johns is garbage.
Thank you. What? Jimmy Johns is fucking terrible.
What?
I don't have it enough to have an opinion.
I love Jimmy Johns.
I've never had a Jimmy Johns sandwich that didn't, like, all the contents didn't slip out of the back of the sandwich because they put too much mayo.
Or have you ever had a Jimmy John's sandwich and said, wow, this is fucking good? Like, no. Never.
Have you ever had it? I mean,
I like it.
I have never purchased a Jimmy John's sandwich. It is always via corporate America or like, you know, when we were at practices for the Blazers or like.
You have the catering shit.
Yeah. And it's just like. Still, it's the same. Yeah. Well, I know it's the same, but it's like my association with it is that. And I know, I imagine there are a lot of people in corporate America who are like, it's either a pizza party or it's Jimmy John's or insert shitty fast food sandwich here.
It goes Quiznos, Jersey Mike's, brew cheese Quiznos for the local Vancouver people. Yeah, Quiznos, I thought.
What about Potbellies?
I never had Potbelly.
Potbellies is good.
Yeah, but that, good. Does that fall in the same category as the other ones?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's very similar to Quiznos.
Because I feel like Potbelly is like the Chipotle to like a Taco Bell. And the and like
Quiznos
Jimmy Johnson
is the
them.
Chipotle to a Taco Bell. You think about that?
Now I am.
Never sad had to see belly, Quiznos so. Meet its demise as much as it did. It was a big old bummer. They had a pepper bar.
They did have a pepper
bar. They did have a pepper bar.
Like sauce? Like
no, like mean? Peppers.
Potbelly peppers are nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Potbelly has good soup,
you're the
soup
only one
too.
I've ever heard talk about Potbelly until he brought it up. Like, I've never had it.
Potbelly's good. Worth it. Next time you get DoorDash, get some Potbelly.
They're like the sub sandwiches. They're not like the ciabatta bougie fucking.
They're sub sandwiches.
Yeah. Hoagies.
Dude, I would hit up. I might hit up an Applebee's here sometime soon. Don't just
half price.
Dollar marks.
Yeah, dollar the Dollaritas.
Mm-hmm.
You think that we could get fucked? Dude, they don't have a limit on Dollaritas.
Do I think we could get fucked?
Yeah. Don't sorry, just don't, I need just to finish. Hop over that.
Yeah. Do I think that we get probably. Fucked up on Dollaritas? And is there a limit?
I don't know if there's a limit. I think until you're belligerent.
Yeah.
How many margaritas will it take to get you to the point where you have to get
booted?
Yeah.
Well, and I think
12.
12?
And you have they're to because if they're serving so dollar sweet. Margaritas, they're not
they're
probably not strong.
Watered down as fuck.
Yeah. Probably a half shot each.
They're like pre-mixed.
So you'll probably get bloated before you get wasted.
Yeah. You'll get diabetes before you get wasted.
It's probably diabetes. 90% mix.
True. Sweet and sour you'd probably get some fucking real ass heartburn is what you'd get.
Yeah. We're in our 30s now, boys. Like, we're getting true. Heartburn.
Facts.
We're getting heartburn. I actively carry, like, a Costco-sized thing of antacids in my car now.
Are you in your 30s?
Not yet.
Really?
I got...
Damn.
5 more months.
My gosh.
29.
I'm young.
You literally be older than all of us. But that's right. Like, you were in college in 2012.
That's right.
It's true. Facts.
Damn. Were you there? Okay, so before we get into rivalry week, were you there for the Wisconsin game?
That was my first game.
That was your first game.
Yeah.
With the Rush the Field Monty Ball game. That was my very first Beaver game.
Good game to go to.
First time in Corvallis. First Beaver game and first Rush the Field game where I first learned about that fucking wall where some drunk college student was like, hey, are we rushing the field? I'm like, I don't know. He goes, yeah, we are. It's and I drop. Learned how tall that fucking wall is. And I dropped from there. I was like, holy shit.
I've never rushed the field. And I feel like a part of my life is missing.
That was a great one to rush.
You need to just go down the stairs. You don't need to jump. Again, there are stairwells. In the 30s. Yeah. Just wait and go down the stairs.
Yeah.
Okay, so your first game after you awkwardly commit to Oregon State, I bet you felt very validated in your decision at that point. You were probably redshirting. Were you playing?
Yeah, I was playing.
You played?
Yeah. Not much. Probably should have redshirted looking back on it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You was a true freshman?
So you're on the field and like people, like 40,000 people are descending on you. Is that exciting or scary?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're 19 years old. It's not scary.
Well, yeah.
Nothing's scary.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
I'm trying to think. I think I had a couple field rushes.
And
the one was that I remember also was Arizona State, I think my junior year. when ASU was like number six.
Okay.
And they came and played us, and it was like 15 degrees, and it was frozen, and they didn't want to be there.
Was that Dennis Erickson, ASU?
No, that was Todd Graham.
Oh.
Mm, Hedgehog Graham, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, have you been on the other... Well, I was going to say you've been on the other side where it was the field rushed against you, but I don't think that Oregon State was ever prominent enough.
I can't remember if they rushed the field, but I know that year, that was our best year since these past two. And I think we were ranked number seven, undefeated, going into Washington. And Washington beat us. That was when Sean Mannion came back after injury, maybe a little prematurely. And Washington, they had some nasty fans.
Yeah.
I got spit on that game.
No way.
Yeah.
When they rushed or like when you were...
No, like going into the locker room at halftime.
Shit, man.
Yeah, you forget that OSU team was top 10. That was like Cooks.
They won like their first six or seven games, right?
Yeah, I think we were 7-0.
Yeah.
Was Villeman on that team?
No, that was the year before he got there.
So it was Cooks,
Rogers,
Quiz, Poyer, Wheaton.
James. You had James and Quiz, right? Or no,
had they? Quiz wasn't there.
They had just left.
James.
Wheaton was still there.
I think that was the year after James last year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was that Storm Woods?
Yep. That was his redshirt freshman year.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks was on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Caleb and I went to a comedy show last Thursday.
Yep.
And
it was Brandon Cooks performing?
Yeah, Brandon Cooks was there on stage. No, we were watching the Bengals-Ravens game, and Jake Browning came in for the Bengals. Yeah. And Caleb just goes, that guy's a bitch. And at first I was like, that's kind of a random take to have. And then he was like, yeah, I played against him. He's super douche. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Was he the UW quarterback that made it to the playoffs? They got rocked by Alabama. Yeah. He was the QB.
Damn.
You remember Jake Locker?
Yeah.
He was the man.
Jake Locker was the fucking dude.
Yeah. Man. That was
Jake Locker, Chris Polk.
Yeah.
They were good.
Was Ross on that team?
No, that was before John Ross.
So,
remember that 40 he ran? That was awesome.
Did you? Who do you hate the most then when you were playing? Was it Oregon or was it Washington?
It was Washington for sure.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, just because of their dickhead fans or what?
Yeah, and just, I don't know, like through the recruiting, like I got recruited to Washington. I just didn't get like a good vibe off of Sark when he was there. He was kind of a...
alcoholic.
Yeah, he was a wild man.
I think not a lot of people liked him.
Yeah.
Even to this day, like, the players and people don't like him that much.
Yeah, he needs a good PR guy.
For sure. Okay, but you guys, you beat Oregon once or no?
My senior year, but I wasn't playing.
You weren't playing then. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. I have a video that I was filming, which I was following Gary Anderson after that game with my camera, and he turns around and just like smacks right into my camera, and he just was like, "Wow!" Didn't know I was there. I totally blindsided him with a punch to the face with my camera. Pretty fun.
Did he poke you in the eye with his big gin blossom nose?
So we have Oregon and Oregon State coming up this weekend. There's obviously a lot of implications on the line. You have a number 16 team in Oregon State. You have a number 6 in Oregon. So when the spread at this point, 13.5, but it kind of feels like it shouldn't be that big considering how competitive this game has been.
No, I agree. I thought coming into this weekend it would probably be more of a one score, like a 7.5 maybe. No, not even into double digits, so I'm surprised to see that.
Would you agree that if you're looking at both teams, you would look at, if you just looked at Oregon, you look at all the... I can't take you seriously. Like, that shit, man. Like, I don't know why it looks like it stops from underneath your nose. It's so Caleb, short.
For the people listening, Caleb has found his way to the Rawlings helmet that's usually on our coffee table.
It looks great.
He's protected. It
feels good.
But you look at...
It's really in character.
What is the best offense that Oregon's played? You don't have to pick one, but the best offense you think they played all season?
Probably Washington.
And USC.
Not
if we're just talking about being able to cover and the fact that they couldn't stop a scrambling Caleb Williams and Brendan Rice, they put up points against them. That would be, I would say, that's behind Washington.
And Tech, Texas Tech. So off, like, as far as covering the spread, no one's really been to their level except Washington, outside of the two that were able to put up points. What is the best defense they played?
Utah.
Yeah.
And they rolled them.
They did. Yeah.
So who are the other best defenses that they played? Washington lost by three.
Washington's a good defense.
Yeah.
So Washington is a good defense. It's also right before they got banged up and all of a sudden people started putting up points against them. Right? Oregon has played teams that they were able to roll all year. Texas Tech, a below average team, they lost by eight. USC, absolute shit defense with a Caleb Williams, they lost by nine. Washington, pretty good on both sides of the ball, they lost by three. Oregon State, if Oregon plays the same way that they played against USC, Oregon State could put up points. They could run the ball.
Right, yeah. Oregon State this year is a team that can go blow for blow with you when it comes to points.
When it comes to points. But Oregon State doesn't have a shit defense like USC.
Right.
They can defend. They have decent corners. They have Oladapo. They have a good line. They can't take their foot off the gas and think that they're going to be able to roll OSU. At least that's my hope.
Yeah, and I think that, like, when it comes to the Oregon-USC game, when you think about how, like, why this game can be 13.5 points that Oregon State can cover is just because, like, that the way that Oregon finished that game. If they have learned a lesson at all from USC, it is if they are able to get out to a USC-type lead, 36-14, for instance, and maintain that type of lead.
And I think the fact that it's a rivalry game, the last rivalry game that they're going to play against each other for at least, you know, probably 4 years until they're able to realign schedules a little bit. I think that this is going to mean a little bit more to both teams, but I think for that reason, if they are able to get up to that lead, they're going to, you know, step on the gas, step on their throats and keep it, if not in, add to it. But I just think that for that reason, because of it being this last rivalry game, because it being, you know, the way Oregon State has been treated in the realignment situation, I do think that Oregon State is going to, you know, come out and match them blow for blow. I hope that doesn't happen, but that's why I kind of think that it's going to be a closer game, be that 7-point difference, hopefully in Oregon's favor, is because I think that Oregon State is going to have that piss and vinegar in them to match what Oregon is bringing to the table.
What was the result of the last three?
Oregon State is
2-1.
So who won last year?
Oregon State.
And then before?
Oregon.
And then Oregon State.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so now that us three blowhards have had a chance to talk, what about the guy who's actually played in one of these games?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I just think about, like, motivation behind, like, what teams are playing for. Like, Oregon's looking at a Pac-12 title berth. They need some things to fall into place for them to have a shot to get into that top four. But then on the flip side, Oregon State feels disrespected being left out of the conference realignment stuff.
Sure, yeah, there's that part.
It's potentially the last Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like they're trying to re-engage I think
they're going to find a way to make it work.
It would have to be early in the season, but
Apple Cup just agreed.
You think about like Florida State, like they've found a way to make it work in different conferences.
But the potential.
Yeah, but anyways, I feel like Oregon State has that stink of the disrespect that they feel like they're left out of the party, and really their whole season motivation at this point is to play spoiler for a rivalry team. So, and I think they see that 13.5 point line and they are like thinking the same thing we are. Like, that's way too many points. We're a better team than that. So,
and I'm not sure if that's, I haven't checked like Oregon State's lines throughout the year, but that would seem to me like one of the biggest point spreads that they've probably.
It's the biggest by far.
Yeah, that they've played against any team.
They were favored against Washington.
Yeah, they were favored. That was wild.
What do you think would jack you up more? Having the motivation to play for something or to play spoiler?
I mean, I feel like...
Especially against a rival.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, of course, I'm biased. I just see things from the Oregon State perspective, but I feel like they've always at least in the past decade or so, felt like they're like, it's like a little brother mentality to where like they feel like people aren't really giving them the respect they deserve, especially these last 2 years. They're playing really good football. Jonathan Smith's obviously a great coach. I think he's going to be one of the top candidates to get a big job after this year. I see Oregon State coming into this game fired up, ready to play. And, I mean, as long as they're not letting Oregon get out to a big lead, I think they can go shot for shot with Oregon. And I think these are two good defenses. I know you guys don't love unders. We've been through this.
Yeah,
we've been through this.
Yeah, dude, we've
been through this. Were you the one who suggested the under?
Yes. Okay, to be fair.
Hey, USC lost. No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I wanted to just go Oregon State and the points and say, hey.
Oh, yeah, Barker fucked us.
Yeah.
We'll blame Matt.
We'll blame Matt.
You're not. I would never do anything to upset you, Caleb. Yeah.
As soon as the 5-7 team parlay started flowing, I was like,
I'm out.
We're dead.
Yeah.
I'm done.
You know the worst part of that whole conversation? I bet like Barker, but I don't reason with other people like he does.
Because it showed me
how stupid I am. Because the thing when it came down to, okay, you can see how this group text is split in half.
So off topic.
Yeah. That's okay.
I mean, it's betting.
Yeah.
You have half of the group saying this is the smart bet, but the half of the group have a problem with a minus bet. It's like favorites. Why the fuck would we do that? There's not that much of a return.
Here's how I was thinking of it. I was thinking of it like if somebody just gave me $500 and said, go make a bet. I'm not throwing their money away on a four, even a two team parlay. I'd be like, I don't know. I'm probably going slight favorites and just take the money. It's still good money.
Because that's the thing. I fall on both categories. When I do the bet that I agree with Barker on, they're $5-$10 bets.
Yes.
But if I'm betting $300, I'm taking a
$500.
Minus, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
$500. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
$500. But when we're betting like the teaser, I'm putting $150 to $250. Yeah. That's at minus $140.
Yeah.
I have to be smart about that. But I was just like, dude, I'll just let him talk.
Whatever. Whatever. But yeah, I will say that I don't want to be going, if I'm Oregon, I don't want to be going into that fourth quarter in a one score game.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to be
antsy.
A little antsy if we're going to that fourth quarter and it's a one score game.
Yeah, you talk about like the role of like, you know, the team that has something to play for versus the spoiler. And I kind of think that it kind of comes to like the maturity of a football team and whether or not they've been there. Right, I think that like an Alabama team that has been there, that is, you know, has a very mature coach, you know, in Nick Saban, is someone who could play that spoiler. Although with Kirby Smart, he's also been around and been in those situations too. But like Dan Lanning, for instance, like, do we feel like he has adopted a like quote unquote mature enough football team to overcome a chippy spoiler?
I think one thing that I've noticed in this Oregon team this year that's been a lot different than years past is they do have that sense of maturity. They aren't what
they have. They have a good leader
because exactly. They have a 36-year-old quarterback.
Exactly.
Well, 18 kids.
Yeah, he's played in 79 Rivers. College football
the
games.
Philip
yeah.
Rivers of
but,
quarterbacks.
But my point is that we all know and have seen and shed tears and laughed about the Arizona State games where, you know, top 10 Oregon teams with, you know, great quarterback, Justin Herbert, whoever it may be, and they go and lose one to Arizona State or to an unranked Stanford or unranked Arizona. And it's like, oh, that's just what they do. And Oregon has just totally dominated every single team they're supposed to. They've had one close loss against a top 4 ranked team. Like, they have shown that maturity time and time again, and I think they just need to stay on that train.
Last week, this past week, down in the that kind of said it all in terms of where I think this team is, because that's the exact trap game that you talk about.
Exactly.
I mean, like, Mariota lost that game.
Yep.
You know, like, and he, you know, ended up being the Heisman, But still, like, that was the type of game, end of the year, right before a rivalry game, where you're just like, damn, like, this always seems to freaking happen. But that's where it's at. So another huge, huge, huge rivalry game this week is between the University of Michigan and Ohio State Buckeyes. Despite the fact that he's not playing or coaching in this game, Coach Jim Harbaugh is still holding press conferences, and by now, I wish he wouldn't.
Locker rooms, a lot like my mom's bathing suits. Like you see them in one piece.
Heyo!
You don't like that he's in good spirits?
No.
Like, you want him to be fucking angry?
You want him to be crying?
What is the fuck's the matter with you?
I don't think that he should be doing press conferences if he's not the freaking coach on Saturday.
I think that he should allow his mom to express her sexuality how she likes.
Yeah, that's true. So he's going off, he's hitting people with Ted Lasso jokes and all this other stuff. So you have...
Your problems are never about sports.
It's never.
It's always about the outside of it. Sports, like okay. Production, calls, press conferences, interviews, and all that shit.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Harbaugh?
I respect a guy that drinks a glass of milk with a steak at a nice steakhouse.
A milk steak.
Yeah.
You've been in these locker rooms before. And there's the stuff that Harbaugh is feeding his guys. There's the stuff that Kirby Smart was feeding his guys last year when they won the championship and somehow convinced those guys that they were going to go 5-7, right? Like, they were like, oh, we were the underdogs. It's like, you were number one all year in the Georgia Bulldogs. When it comes to being, like, drinking the Kool-Aid or, buying exactly
into the culture.
Yeah. Like how much of a cult or religion does it feel like when you're in those types of situations?
I mean, every coach has a different style. Like, I played for Mike Riley, and I'm sure if you put a Mike Riley pregame speech versus a Kirby Smart pregame speech, it's going to sound a little different. But if it's just a matter of how coaches can kind of tap into a player's mindset and make them believe that, you know, they are that underdog. They have all that to play for. And I mean, to be honest, the hours that these coaches put in and the amount of time that they spend together throughout the whole year, I really don't think it's that big of a factor that Harbaugh's not on the sideline. Like, these coaches are on the same page as to what their game plan is, as to who they are, as to what they're trying to accomplish.
Where do you land on the sign stealing stuff?
I don't care.
Doesn't fucking matter.
I think even if you have a successful sign stealing campaign, I really don't think it's going to help you that much.
That's been kind of like the rebuttal, right? Like, even
you
though
still
you
have to go out,
you still
and
have to go
to
out
stop
and,
it.
But I mean, yeah. Like, on the other side, like, if you have the answers to the test, more or less, like, even if you put like the wrong answer to number 21, you still have the answers to the test. That's still an unfair answer.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's so binary, though. Yeah,
no one's stopping you from putting the answers down. In football, you still have to go against someone that's trying to stop that, even if they know what's going on.
Because of the unpredictability of things, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think even if you dropped off your playbook to the opposing locker room before a game, like, you still got to go out and play the game. There's still so many things that happen over the course of every single play that can make a difference in every single play to play. Players make plays. I really don't think the sign stealing debacle.
This has nothing to do with sign stealing, but the 2005-06 USC team didn't run more than 8 plays on offense. Every single opponent they had knew what Leinart was going to do with Reggie Bush and everyone else. They couldn't fucking stop it.
Yeah, you look at, like, the Eagles with the tush push.
Yeah, you can't fucking stop it.
Yeah. And I think that there's almost a disadvantage to, you know, if you know what's coming and you sell out on it too hard, then they just bounce out and change, you know, instead of running inside, they bounce outside, and then all of a sudden there's nobody there. I think there's no real advantage. Obviously, is it a little slimy? Are you obviously going to get in trouble for this kind of shit? Yeah, don't do it. But does it help the team so much that Michigan wouldn't be in the same position they are now if they hadn't done it? I don't think it changes. I think Michigan is still a great team. I think Harbaugh is still a great coach. And I think they'd be in a very similar position whether or not they did this.
And imagine mentally,
you knew what play is coming and you can't stop it. What does that do to you as a player?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have been giving that's the answers to the test. That's a real fucking bummer. Test, and then you can't fucking stop. They put up three touchdowns. You're like, Jesus, we suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did think that it was petty beyond petty to see Michigan put up their little their flags or whatever to try and prevent the sky cam from getting in on the huddles. Did you guys see that this past week? Yeah, it's like, no peeking, no cheating, guys. Like, you know what? This is so silly.
Oh, yeah?
Don't do that.
Yeah, and it's like every single every team at this level, it's like they're running the same plays.
Yeah.
Like whenever we would go through film breakdown, we'd be watching the other team's film, and we would have our plays at the bottom of the screen just plugged into whatever their system is. So every playbook, every scheme, I mean, there's similarities you can draw from it. It's all about reactions, tendencies. There's only so many ways you can rewrite the game of football.
In your years of playing under Mike Riley, did he have a speech that got you going? Like in the middle of the locker room, you were like, fuck yeah, like let's go. Because you can kind of picture him as this like cool, calm, and collected kind of just go with
warm
the flow.
And fuzzy.
Yeah, he's not, you know, he's not like a rah-rah guy.
Any given Sunday guy.
No, he wasn't a rah-rah guy. I mean, it comes down to like the leaders that are in the locker room. Every team has their own vocal leaders, guys that have been there. And I mean, I think of a guy like Bo Nix. Like every guy in that locker room, I'm sure, has just the utmost respect for him. He's been through it all. He's seen it all. And every team's going to look to guys like that for that spark, that leadership to give them that extra little juice.
Yeah.
I'm a Dan Lanning fan, too. Like, I think Oregon, their social media team is awesome. Like, all the stuff that they put out.
Those mini movies that they do.
They do such a good job. I mean, I think he's a really good motivator, but it really comes down to, I mean, the guys in the locker room and your leaders that you have and – you kind of feed off the energy of
right. It's about like leaders. Who you surround yourself with and all that stuff too. That
you don't think there's any guys in the Duck locker room that's thinking, "Oh, you left the SEC because you couldn't perform." So
I don't think so.
No,
it was a question. It was a legitimate question.
I don't know about that, Jim. I don't know about that.
You're not a duck.
I am the biggest duck here.
Oh
well,
I don't know about that.
So okay, so you have Ohio State at Michigan. The line was originally opened up at -1.
Michigan?
Now, Michigan. And now it's -3.
In Ann Arbor?
In Ann Arbor. -3.5 in favor of Michigan.
Okay. Before you continue, they're both 10-0.
Yep, they're both undefeated.
Is the loser of this game out of the top four?
Depends what the game looks like.
Yeah.
One score game. 7-point win. Are they out of the top four?
No.
No.
Two score game, yes.
Double digits wouldn't do it, even if it's not two scores, like a 10 touchdown in the field.
I mean, that's two scores.
That team isn't even going to be in the Big Ten championship at that point, right? So then, like, what happens to, you know, the Oregons and the Washingtons at that point that you're saying that you don't even have to win your conference in order to get into the college football playoff?
Yeah, I think
but
that's...
But then, like, you have, like, Washington and Oregon who, like, you have to force to win their conference just to have a shot?
Yeah, I think that's setting a bad precedent for sure.
I think we're a year late on the 12-team playoff.
I agree.
This is the year that the 12-team.
So, yeah. But see, what you guys just pointed out is kind of hypocritical across the board. So Alabama wins the SEC championship. What happens to them?
Right. It's a tough one. I mean, that blows everything up, I think.
I agree.
If Alabama wins by 3, Bama and Georgia are both in.
Bama
jumps from 8 to 4?
I think so.
I don't know.
Do they jump Texas? Texas would have to win their conference.
But,
Texas
but see,
7
Texas
right now.
Only losses to Alabama.
Right.
Right?
No, Alabama's only losses.
Alabama's only losses to Texas. Who's Texas lost to?
Texas lost to Oklahoma.
So Texas is out.
I don't really think Texas has. And in fact, I think the only reason that Texas is in front of Alabama is because they beat them. But I don't really feel like Texas should be ahead of them.
Yeah, I would favor Alabama in a Texas matchup.
Yeah,
for sure.
But I just think the way things are aligned already is I agree kind of with what Pete said. I think that they are going to take the Pac-12 is the strongest conference in college football across the board this year. I think it's hard to deny that from top to bottom. They want to take, they are willing to take a one loss Pac-12 champion over a Texas, over an Alabama, over a Florida State with a hurt QB. If we have a one loss or undefeated Pac-12 champion, they are going to take that fourth spot. I think that would be hard to deny, regardless of Georgia losing to Alabama or something like that happening. I don't see Alabama all of a sudden jumping over a one loss or undefeated.
Okay. This isn't disagreeing with you. This is a legitimate question. We started the season thinking that Pac-12 is the strongest conference this year because of the quarterbacks that are coming back. We then faced a Pac-12 season that had no Cam Rising for Utah, which was a big piece of that, how it's going to look, and a USC that fell off, right? Do you think the rest of the country are looking at the Pac-12 the same way we're looking at it?
Yes. I don't think Oregon would be ranked number six if they weren't.
But you're looking at, there's really two top teams out of the Pac-12 this year.
Yeah.
Because we, like, when we're talking,
there should
about,
have been three, right, or I mean, even or four.
Because yeah, technically, when we're looking at the strongest conference, we counted Utah with Cam Rising, Caleb Williams running away with it with USC, Washington, Oregon,
yeah, Oregon, and State, Oregon and then State. And then you have surprises in like Arizona. Who
but now we're
ranked,
looking at a USC team with four losses, Oregon State
five,
with three,
five losses,
Oregon State with three, Utah with three or four. So really, we have Oregon and Washington. SEC has a one-loss Alabama, an undefeated Georgia, technically LSU right behind them with three.
Right. But I mean, out, like, we...
Is it that run... Like, I don't think it's as a runaway toughest but, conference as we're thinking.
But I mean, like, we knew that there was going to be some cannibalization of the conference, right?
Yeah, I think the difference that you can make between these two examples is that you have two teams that are really, really, really good, and then kind of everybody else. Whereas you see these teams that you mentioned that because of the Pac-12 being so good, that you have these good teams like Oregon State, have these three losses, or Arizona, that get these three losses because they have to play each other and they're, you know, winning against one another. Whereas with Alabama and Georgia, they're just kind of running the table. You get what I'm saying? They're outliers amongst the group.
And I will be interested to see what happens with Florida State, obviously, with a new quarterback. They've got Florida, unranked Florida, this weekend on Saturday. And then they will play a top 10 Louisville team on December 2nd. So, I mean, I guess we'll have to see how they respond. If they all of a sudden like are dominant in those two games, that changes the whole dynamic of things as well. But, I mean, like, are you still going to, even if they do play well in these two games, like, is the committee going to be like, do we want to take the gamble on that?
I feel like if Florida, I don't even know who their backup quarterback is. If he comes in and they blow the doors off Florida and then crush Louisville in the ACC championship, they're going to be in.
They have to be undefeated.
Yeah.
They have to be.
You can't put in a...
I'm just kind of assuming those are going to be closer games or they might lose one.
You don't know, though.
Yeah.
One thing with Florida State is that's probably the team that the committee is looking at, like, we're waiting for you to fuck up or barely win so we can boot you out.
Or prove that you deserve it.
Yeah.
No matter what, there's going to be three or four teams that are going to be very sad at the end of the year.
Rodmaker is the quarterback for the Seminoles this week.
That was born a quarterback.
Rodmaker?
I think it's Rodmaker.
Rodmaker? Yeah. Sure.
If your name is Tate,
yeah, there's, you're definitely, yeah,
you're Tate, not doing a regular night.
Tate Martell turned out really well.
Yeah.
Okay, so Michigan or Ohio State? Sorry, you ask your question.
No, Michigan. I'm taking Michigan. But so looking ahead, if you had to choose your top four going into the playoff, who are those four teams?
Today.
Dude, don't fuck this up, kid.
I mean, right now it's got to be Georgia, Michigan, Washington, Florida State.
So you think Washington wins Pac-12 championship?
Well, you said today.
I mean, okay, let me rephrase.
Yeah, today, don't fuck up,
when,
dude.
When everything is said and done, who do you think will be the top four?
Oh, man.
So not today.
Yeah.
I take that
so
back.
So next
Sorry.
Couple weeks from now.
Yeah.
I think Georgia.
So Georgia beats Alabama.
I think Georgia beats Alabama. I think Michigan.
Beats Ohio State and then wins the Big Ten.
And then I think...
by enough to keep Ohio State out of the playoff.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Washington, unfortunately.
That hurts.
I think Washington gets out of the Pac-12 undefeated. And I think tight SEC championship game, Bama's in.
Damn.
That's what should worry you. That list is what should worry you as a Duck.
Because the committee loves Bama.
Well,
they
the
do.
Committee loves
they
Alabama.
They love Oregon, too.
Not as much as Alabama. No,
that's why Oregon's not, six over Alabama.
But, they're not taking a two-loss Oregon.
But
over.
You have to understand,
oh,
Braxton.
Yeah, that's true. They would be two-loss.
But current ranking, there's still a way that the committee looks at Alabama that if Georgia loses the SEC championship, they're not going anywhere. The only question is how far does Alabama move? But you, right now, you're not just cheering for Oregon to win. You want Washington to lose.
I would love for Washington to lose.
Because there's no way that two Pac-12 teams are going in.
Well, that was going to be my question. It's like, if you took a two-loss Oregon as a number four.
No chance.
A one-loss Oregon
doesn't even have a chance if Washington's in.
That's not possible.
Here's a scenario. Bama beats Georgia by 13. Ohio State beats Michigan by 3. Oregon wins a Pac-12. Florida State's undefeated. Who's in?
I don't fucking know.
Let me answer that. Repeat that and I'll answer it.
Okay.
Bama
wins a two-score game against Georgia.
Okay.
Ooh. Ohio State sneaks out over Michigan in a great game, kick a field goal to win it. Oregon beats Washington by 7. And Florida State kicks the shit out of Louisville to win the ACC.
Florida State's in. On a blowout win, Florida State's in without a... I think the Florida State scenario, they're going to look at that the opposite the way we're looking at it. You don't have your starting quarterback. There's no chance for you to be exciting. But you blew out
a top 10 team in Louisville, and an
ACC championship, you're in. Oregon's fucked.
Yeah, because they probably take Alabama and Georgia.
But Oregon beats Washington in the Pac-12 championship. They both have one loss. It's going to come down to head-to-head. Washington beat them.
But then Oregon beat them. It's even. It's null.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
and recency bias. If they're going to take either one of them, they're going to take Oregon.
They leave Pac-12 out.
That's what I'm saying. That's what would probably happen is that it's Georgia, Michigan, or Ohio State in this scenario. Ohio State, Florida State, and then...
Michigan or Alabama.
Alabama, probably.
Then what if Texas just rolls the next two games, too?
We're fucked. Yeah.
Then they up the college football playoff.
Retroactively.
How sick would it be if they're just like, surprise, we're doing 12-team playoff?
We have to.
Or they just do six. Just make it six.
They're like, hey, breaking news, we're doing 8 this year. Colorado's in because Prime brings a lot of money. Yeah.
Texas's final game is against unranked Texas Tech, so and that's on Friday at 4:30.
And then who would they play in the Big 12 championship?
Is there
a Big 12 championship?
I don't know if it's
the Kansas basketball team.
There is, but I don't think that's been determined yet. But either way. So that's where we're at.
Honestly, I think of all the years that they've done the four-team playoff, this is one of the more like it's going to be a very hard decision because I do think that it's going to come down to, you know, there are going to be six teams probably that very much so deserve to be in that playoff.
Finally, the parity that we've been asking for. Thanks
the transfer
the
portal has just leveled the playing field.
Transfer
awesome.
Portal, NIL, all of that for sure. Something right before we get to the NFL, there were some hot take machines after you had USC lose yet another game, this time to crosstime rival UCLA. Now 7-5 USC, when some were prognosticating them to be 12-0. So,
trash.
Right. Like, there were people saying, you're a fraud. You need to get, you know, pack your bags, get out of town. You're wasting Caleb Williams and everything like that. I mean, like, UNC, North Carolina has, like, the best quarterback that they've ever had with, you know, Drake May. But, I mean, people aren't trying to ship their head coach out of town or anything like that.
Well, they're also not USC.
Right.
You know, UNC is a basketball school that's become relevant because they got, what's his face, Mac Brown? What's his name?
Mac Brown.
Yeah, Mac Brown.
And also, Drake May isn't the best quarterback they've ever had. It's Trubisky. Trubisky was better than Drake May.
All right. You think so?
UNC.
Yeah. Okay.
We will see.
Up for debate.
See.
It's not up for debate. They lost two games
with
Trubisky.
We're a debate show.
Yeah, I like Caleb said, I think they should have started the 12-team playoff a year early. Why wait? Just do it this year. I mean,
if they started this year, James Madison will be in as a fucking one-loss team.
Maybe. Well, they can't even go to a bowl game. Yeah. They can't even go to a bowl.
They wrote so many letters, and they still can't go.
So many letters.
They did.
So many letters.
Okay.
You know,
it sounds like unanimously, before we move on, our picks. You're all going Michigan?
Yeah, I'm going with Michigan.
No, Michigan. I'm riding Buckeyes on this one.
On the spread or straight up?
Just straight up.
Really? I think that
Michigan 3 points?
Michigan 3.5.
Did you see the Michigan game against Maryland? They barely beat them.
Did you see the Ohio State game against Maryland?
What happened in that one?
They barely beat them.
Oh, it's pretty even. I'm taking Ohio State.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like...
Bet?
It's
a betting fucking podcast.
Yeah,
we're
I'm ready to bet. I'm just seeing of us three, if we're all three going to throw in. Like, are
I'm
we...
always getting fucking gangbanged with bets.
you say you like it.
So you want 20 each, and then you...
No.
10
you guys,
each?
You guys have bigger balls when you're ganging up and there's... Yeah.
I'm out. I'm not betting.
Pussy.
Sorry.
I'll take Ohio State.
I'll take Michigan. Straight up?
Yeah. How much?
I don't know. If you're... Are you out? So 20... I would just
you're
do 20
out.
On.
I'm not betting.
$20.
20?
Yeah.
Okay.
$20.
Marvin Harrison scores a touchdown double.
Who?
Harrison scores a touchdown.
Oh,
double.
No. Not doing that.
Their number one scorer.
Yeah. Their number one target.
Okay. Or Civil War. Want to place any wagers?
I mean, on the spread? I don't know.
I'm taking the spread. I'm not taking money line against Oregon at home.
Why not?
I will take 13.5. It's an Autzen. And you just said Oregon's fucking
rolling.
You
scared?
Yeah, when I'm going against multiple people, yeah. I'm scared.
You want to give me some money line odds on this bet?
Are you betting against Oregon State? I'm not expecting you to go against me.
No, he's asking Braxton at this point because I've bet you. I don't want action on that.
And yeah, I'm not betting on that game.
Okay, fine. Have an outstanding bet. You want a double or nothing?
No.
Okay, fine. I'll do it.
I can't.
$20 again.
What's the total
on the spread?
I think it's at 13. Whatever the spread is right now.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Civil War.
The over under?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll tell you.
What is it?
Caleb, you're interested in the total?
Let me guess.
It's six. Go ahead.
Oh, God damn it.
What?
60.5.
62.5. It's 13.5, Peter, the spread.
13.5. I'll do it on that because we can't not bet on
this. So 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm surprised we don't already have a bet on this.
Well,
bet on it then.
You have the USC
Oregon
game. You're in a
sports gambling podcast.
Here's the thing. You owe me $50 for the Oregon USC one.
I know.
But we could even out because we have a regular season record with the Beavs and the Ducks that I'm probably going to lose,
yeah,
which is also 50.
Okay. I like that.
So get in on the 20.
Fine. I will bet 20.
On the spread?
On the spread.
10.5.
No, I'm
no,
not
just
giving
do
you
it.
Fucking points.
Dude. Okay.
Okay. You guys didn't have to touch my dick, okay? This isn't that type of podcast.
It could be.
It could. Yeah, that's right. You know what? You were talking about writing a bunch of letters, too. You know who should have been writing a bunch of letters? Who was DraftKings, who absolutely should have refunded us for that Joe Burrow injury that happened this past Thursday night. Bullshit that guy shows up in a compression freaking wrist. Guess what? We lost our locks of the week, guys. And then we placed another one, and then we lost it again.
Who brought up the stink on that one? Isn't it Portnoy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, I would have never bet $100,000. It was
slimy. Getting off the bus with a fucking brace and then no injury report.
And then he says, oh, that had nothing to do with this injury. Bullshit. What was it then?
I had a similar thing last year with the Bengals. It was like a fantasy football playoffs, and T. Higgins was not on the injury report. He played one play and didn't play the rest of the game.
Did they refund it or no?
No.
Well, see, ESPN bet, I don't know if they refunded everyone.
They're brand new, though. They're trying to get in good graces.
That's true. But they had, like, boosted parlays or boosted odds that they refunded. I don't know if they, like, did the whole thing.
I'm less angry about a lock for 1 week than I am our fucking division winners. Because now the Bengals have no chance.
No chance. We have a 71-cent buyback on our $60 bet.
We have a $60 bet to win $11,000 on division winners.
You don't believe in Jake Browning?
No.
Come on.
Do you believe in Dorian Thompson Robinson?
I believe in DTR more than I do Browning. Yeah.
7-3. Ever heard of it?
The Browns are good.
Yeah.
Know that the Browns have scored more points and have an identical record to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Suck on that.
Here's the thing. Playoff game this Sunday. Let's pretend there's a playoff game this Sunday. Do you take the Browns or the Bills? They're playing each other.
The Browns.
Browns
beat
the Bills.
You kind of do, right?
Yeah. Because they're a better team.
It's crazy when you think about the injuries that have the injuries have mounted up. Joe Burrow, $209 million. He's on the bench. You've got Deshaun Watson, $230 million on the bench. Let's see. What else do we have here?
Is it the worst contract in history?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Think about like all the quarterbacks. Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones.
Kyler Murray.
Ryan Tannehill. Obviously, then you have Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, so many quarterbacks out this year. It's wild.
Not good, Bob.
What's also really wild are the Lions, for the first time since 1962, 8-2.
If you're a diehard Lions fan, I'm happy for you. If you've been supporting the Lions for fucking two or three decades, I am jacked for you that they're 8-2.
I mean, if you're a Lions fan at this point, you've been supporting them for two or three decades.
And you deserve this.
Yeah.
You absolutely deserve this.
You have absolutely earned
this. You stick with them for this long.
Yeah. It's wild. Like, the NFL stuff that we're going to cover is a bunch of crazy stats, and then is a lot of perception, reality, and what your mentality is. So the crazy stat kind of surrounding the Lions and the Browns. There you go.
Yeah. Make sure to watch this one on YouTube.
For the first time since 1969, the Lions and Browns have each won 7 of their first 10 games. The last time this happened, the Jets were defending Super Bowl champions. Bill Belichick was a senior in high school, and the Apollo 11 had just landed on the moon. So,
and JFK was still alive.
That's a Colin Cowherd stat for you if you've ever fucking heard one.
So those are some pretty wild stats.
You're a Hawks guy, right?
That's right. Dude.
Seahawks or Atlanta Hawks?
Seahawks.
Okay.
Atlanta.
I don't know. Well, there's a legitimate Hawks
what
on
What ties do you have with Mookie Blaylock and Steve Smith?
Maybe he liked...
just drop an NBA.
Maybe he liked the tight end, Gonzalez.
What? Atlanta Falcons.
About? He wasn't even...
Oh, right.
Yeah, you idiot.
He was a quarterback turned tight end. He wasn't tight end forever.
I have got all the wrong teams. All right, let's proceed. Moving on.
So wasn't he a chief?
That's what he just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Anyways.
Anyways.
Pretend Peter's not here.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you think...
Here to moderate.
Because the NFC is kind of in shambles a little bit. I think that those bottom two spots to the playoffs are pretty much wide open. Do you think the Seahawks can snag one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. They're not going to win it, but they'll get in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is Gino the guy?
He's not the guy.
Okay. I'm glad. I'm glad you have the ability to see that. Because they do have a very good team. They have a lot of good weapons on offense. I feel like they're always going to be a good defensive team. But you need somebody more than Gino. I don't know who it is. Yeah. But
they've killed it in the draft the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Kenneth Walker is a great pickup. Jigba is going to turn in. Charbonnet and Jigba is going to turn into a great receiver, I feel.
Careful.
Like.
You know,
careful.
The Lions sitting at 8-2 are kind of like what I think the Chargers, people wanted the Chargers to be. No. Hold on. I'm not trying to build up the Chargers here. I'm just saying that, like,
frauds.
Speaking of
frauds.
They have been, yeah, we'll get
no,
there.
No, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
When Herbert went to the Chargers, the Lions' path that they have taken since getting Goff is what the Chargers should have been.
Right, and like when it comes to like these close games and all those types of things, like like the Chargers have lost 5 games this year by less than 3 points or less. That's insane, right? But I mean, like, the Lions, on the other hand, have won a ton of those types of games. And so when you look at the mark of a good team, it's like, can you close these types of games out? And they have been. And so, like, you know, again, Justin Herbert, the highest rated QB in the freaking NFL in week 11, and they lose another game.
But here's what I think you guys fail to see when you think I'm just like hating on your guy is when the Lions lose up until this year, it's always like Goff's not the guy. This receiver is not the guy. But when the Chargers lose, it's never Justin Herbert. It's like, are they cursed? Is it because he doesn't have a good defense? Is it because of this? Like, he always has an out. It's
Staley stinks.
Yeah, his coach is horrible, which I agree with. Staley does stink. But it's like, you have these individual stats but he can't. The sign of a good quarterback is you get to pull those games out.
What are you looking at the graphic? Yeah. So as Miguel was talking about that, and that takes me to like what I had said about like perception, reality, and your overall mentality.
And before you go any farther,
did Peter make this graphic?
I did not. it's on Twitter.
Let's get another party because we hear ourselves talk about this round and round every week. What do you feel about Justin Herbert?
Overall,
the Chargers, is it a Chargers problem? Is it a Herbert problem? What are your thoughts, Caleb?
It's a Charger problem. Herbert's good. He's a good player. He's running for his life. O-line's not great. Defense isn't great. His coach seems like every week makes just absolutely head-scratching decisions to go for it on fourth down in strange situations. And he's not consistent about it either. It's like, if you don't have like a consistent plan of attack from your coach, I think it's really hard to get all your players on the same page.
Agreed.
But do you think that it's never denying that he's not a good player? I have never said he's not a good player.
Why?
But do you think that he gets an out being looked at as the elite quarterback that he is, and he never gets the blame that I think he deserves? Because when a quarterback wins, they're celebrated. But when they lose, they're usually blamed unless you're a Herbert or a Mahomes.
I think that a lot Allen.
I don't feel like he's lauded as I mean, yeah, people talk about him as being an elite guy, but I don't think he's talked about consistently.
There's
as
a lot of people on this graphic that I have up for YouTube viewers. We have a lot of people who consider Justin Herbert to be a social media QB. Right, like that is yeah, like
those people are smart.
Well, see, so what for people who are listening on Spotify or on other streaming devices, we have a graphic up that has Patrick Mahomes and has Justin Herbert on it, and both in their respective games had players in Quentin Johnson for the Chargers and then MVS for the Chiefs, who both drop passes at very critical moments in their respective games. And so what people are thinking about with Mahomes is like, oh, poor Mahomes, he deserves better, he needs help, the Chiefs have failed him, you know, like, this guy's still the MVP. But on the other side, You know, like Justin Herbert is not a winner. He's a social media quarterback. He's a choke artist. Like those, he doesn't elevate his teammates. And I think that like these two things happen, and both of these quarterbacks are dealing with like issues more so for Herbert on the defensive side of the ball. But I do think that like you go back and forth and you go like, what's your mentality about these guys? And is it warranted?
Are you trying to make an argument that they're the same?
I'm not trying to make an argument. No. I'm trying to talk about like the perception of that person.
Mahomes is dealing with possibly one of the worst wide receiving core outside of Kelsey, and he's lost three fucking games this season.
They have the most drops out of all
and
wide
receivers.
And they
lost three games. He's good enough that he's able to pull those games out that they should probably lose by three.
He also won a Super Bowl with these guys last year.
He does have that benefit with that.
Yeah, and I think I kind of saw this coming because I don't think that it's fair to compare Herbert to Mahomes. They are obviously two very different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's you and Caleb.
Herbert,
you want athletes.
I feel like Herbert deserves to be compared to a guy like Josh Allen.
Yeah, they're both frauds.
No,
absolutely.
Here's the thing. I think Josh Allen has more talent around him than Herbert does. And here's the thing. I watch a Bills game, and I see Josh Allen clearly making mistakes. The amount of turnovers, the amount of just dumb decisions that he's making. And then I watch a Chargers game, and you see Herbert, who's making good decisions, who's not having a high amount of turnovers, who has a defense that's not performing. It's just very, I think we've all watched enough football in our lives to watch those two players and with the teams that they have and see the difference.
But when you mention, this is what bothers me. When you mention that one person has more talent than a Justin Herbert, let's be fair, not blind following. Who are the all-pro guys around Josh Allen? All-pro. Not good enough, good for fantasy, but all-pro. Who are those guys in Buffalo?
Well, Diggs.
Diggs? Who else?
I don't know enough about their team. They probably have an offensive line.
James Cook's playing some good football.
But you're not going to... Like, people that are playing good football in the moment doesn't necessarily mean they're all-pro. That counts James Cook. That counts Kincaid. That counts maybe Gabe Davis. Or Shakir, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not all pro. He has Stephon Diggs as all pro, and who else?
I don't think James Cook has played long enough to become all pro.
Who's Justin Herbert have that you can consider all pro?
Keenan Allen, Eckler.
Bosa, who's hurt now.
Yeah, so he has one additional person than Josh Allen does.
So... He is surrounded, arguably, by more talent than some of the guys we're naming next to him. And he still can't do it.
And I think my argument is not so much on the offensive side of the ball. It's the defensive side of the ball. I think that both Buffalo and the Chargers have difficulties on defense. But the Chargers' defense is clearly lacking. I think historically there hasn't been a team to score 40 points and lose more than the Chargers in the history of football.
Yeah. That is quite true. That's quite
like that's the thing. Again, you look at the Bills and they're, you know, barely holding up against the Broncos, losing to the Broncos. And obviously in that game their defense was a huge strong point. But again, when you're putting up 35 plus points a game in the NFL, statistically, historically, you are a winning team. If you have a defense on the other side of the ball who's losing these games for you, he can't do anything about that. He's putting up the points. He's doing everything he's supposed to do with the talent that he has, and his defense is still letting them down. You can't, that's my only point to you, is you can't sit here and be like, Justin Herbert's trash, he's a fraud, whatever. No, he's doing all the things he's supposed to do.
He's shackled. He's hamstringed by the thing. He's got a head coach.
The argument goes back and forth with the two teams. Like, if we're like, this thing that I've gone against has been the Bills and the Chargers. And it's like, you have points against the Chargers, you have points against the Bills. And the last time we had this argument for the Buffalo Bills, the point is, oh, their defense is terrible. Now we move on to the Chargers. I'm like, well, the Bills' defense is significantly better than the Chargers. It's like,
I didn't say that. I just said that they played well against the Broncos. They were the only good point against that.
You can play two episodes ago, and you said the Bills' defense significantly better.
Historically, yes, than the Chargers. I'm just saying, yes.
People always make an excuse for Herbert and Allen.
I'm not making any excuse for Allen. I think Allen is a fraud, and I think the way he's been playing this year is very unlike him and not great at all.
I don't think that the reason why the Chargers are losing is not because of Justin Herbert. The reason why the Bills are losing is because of Josh Allen.
Agreed.
And so
agreed.
There you go. Ah. Another thing that I thought was interesting about perception, and again, winning cures all, and the thing is that the Bills and Chargers are not winning, right? Yeah. And when we look at what happened on Monday Night Football with the Chiefs and the Eagles, you know, like the Chiefs dominated that game. It looked like they were going to run away with it. And then you learn, and what is exposed after the fact, after they lose, is that they are the worst second half scoring team in the NFL this season. 5.9 points they're scoring in the second half this whole season. It's insane.
I heard that and I was like, why did it take till week 11?
Yeah.
For
the end of week 11.
For somebody to say this. I haven't heard anybody talk about that. And maybe I'm not listening, but I had no idea. And that's like
alarming.
That's alarmingly low amount of points.
Yeah.
Because Taylor Swift takes the cake with
that's
the
fucking news.
I mean, like, at this point, the Chiefs are one Travis Kelce injury away from
trash.
Mediocrity. Yeah.
That game last night, how many times did Jalen Hurts get sacked?
I don't know. A few. I mean, twice on one drive by Chris Jones.
He got sacked like seven
times.
Six times,
yeah. I think.
So he was running for his life, right? Did they win?
They did.
Yeah, Herbert can't do that. I'm just saying.
What was interesting about, like, again, like, perception and reality.
The Eagles also have a very, very good defense.
Who's the guy? Who's not the guy? I thought it was I saw another stat side by side that Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts have nearly identical passing stats this year when it comes to yards, yikes, touchdowns, and interceptions. One says, oh, this guy is possibly an MVP on a championship team. The other's like, oh, that's not the guy.
Well, it's
obviously
amazing.
Like Jalen Hurts brings
amazing
a different dimension.
What a good defense can do for your your
fucking homers.
And what a tush in the push, a push in the tush would be as well.
We've talked about three different teams. How are we homers?
You guys are duck homers.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts definitely.
Dude, when
definitely
Bo Nix makes it to the pros, like these two are gonna be like
sucking his dick.
Bo
yeah,
Nix,
we are
fucking savior of whoever, whatever team he goes to.
Here's the thing: we have brought in a unbiased person who has agreed with us.
Dude,
on
everything. I thought Caleb was unbiased until you two.
You do not want to upset
until
that man.
You two look at him and go, agree?
Listen.
I do have a dagger to his belly right now.
Yeah, I know. He is in duress. But, I mean, that's the thing. I would not try and upset Caleb because I know he can break me in half.
Dude,
that's true.
Headbutted me before. Yeah.
Caleb, I am curious, though, because Miguel is pretty heavy on the, oh, I think people are fraud strain. Is there, I don't know the correct grammar there, players or teams that you see in the NFL that are being overhyped that you're just kind of like, no, fuck this. I can see through the fog. They aren't who we think they are.
It's tough. I feel like the NFL season's so long, you don't really know like what you're looking at until you get down the stretch. Like we're getting to the point where you can kind of see the full picture of like what teams are. But I mean, I look at the Chiefs. I'm not worried about the Chiefs. I still think Chiefs.
You're
are
not.
Gonna, I still think Chiefs AFC Championship game.
Do you think that they need to add anyone from like a wide receiver perspective, or just like they need to have a come to Jesus moment and be like, catch the ball?
No, it's, you know? I don't know. Like I look at the game. It's like most of the stock that I put into teams. It's like it comes down to like the trenches, and you look at like an Eagles team. Dominant offensive and defensive line. Chiefs team, dominant offensive and defensive line. Like, those teams are going to be okay. That's the stuff that kind of plays down the stretch of a football game and a football season.
This isn't a new issue for the Chiefs. I mean, like, I remember, you know, every, like, what happened with Kadarius Toney earlier on in the season, too. Yeah. It was just like, catch the ball.
And he was a huge reason they won the Super Bowl.
Right. And yeah. So, like, this is not a new issue for the Chiefs
also,
at this point.
Also, one thing about them that not a lot of teams have is they're coached very well. Because remember last season, you're like, oh, they don't have Tyreek Hill. I don't know how they're going to do.
Yeah, I faded and them like a motherfucker.
They fucking win the Super Bowl. Yeah. They're able to adjust really quick. And we're talking about a Chiefs team who has three losses. They're not succeeding, but they're not succeeding because of drops, which you can easily fix. It's not like, I feel like there are things that are bigger than drop balls that'll be harder.
Couple more reps at the jugs machine.
Yeah, exactly. Get on the jugs machine. That'll be all right.
I thought
shit about jugs, bro.
you might be right about that. I saw an interesting stat about Jalen Hurts winning stat. He's won 13 straight games against teams 500 or better. Teams with winning records.
That's a good stat.
That's a great stat.
It dates back to 1973. No quarterback.
He's been alive that long?
Well, yes.
This is what drives me crazy. I love Jalen Hurts. I'm a huge Jalen Hurts guy. And the reason I dog on your guys with Allen and Herbert until you admitted he was a fraud is every fucking quarterback ranking that I see, Hurts is below Allen and Herbert. Every fucking one.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't. I agree with you. I think that's.
I object.
Not right.
I object, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Do we need to make an apology to the Denver Broncos who keep winning?
To fuck the Broncos.
No, they can fucking blow me.
Oh, they're
Caleb.
They're rolling okay. Because they won by won by one against the Vikings on Sunday.
They're okay. I mean, they're.
I'm not buying in.
I mean, do I think they're a playoff team? No, but. I mean, it's not the Broncos from the first couple weeks of the season.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
They're a lot different now.
Credit for improvement. I will say that. Credit for improvement.
Yeah. Russell Wilson's playing good ball.
Most improved team over the last 4 weeks? Broncos.
No.
Or the Browns. Vikings. Texans.
The Browns are 7-3, baby. They've been doing this shit.
They've been on a
most
roll.
Most improved? The Broncos are so far down the fucking list. I would not take them over the Cleveland Browns for most improved. The Vikings were on a 4 or 5 game winning streak.
That's
until
true.
Sunday night.
Vikings been good.
Losing Jefferson and Cousins, there's no way that they're not the most improved right now.
Broncos just beat them.
Yeah. True. Well, before 4 weeks ago, the Broncos were in consideration to get a top 5 pick in the draft. And now they
are 2 games behind the Chiefs.
Yes.
Okay,
so
this is
with that being said, they are one of the most improved teams.
This
in the
is kind of off the rails, but I don't give a shit.
Yeah, when I don't think we've ever cared.
When you're looking at the MVP in the NFL, do you consider the team record?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you have to.
So that's important, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to consider like a Justin Herbert playing out of his mind with a losing record.
Yeah.
When you're looking at the Heisman, do you look at the team record?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's an individual award.
But
is MVP not?
But I'm not saying I necessarily agree with MVP of the NFL getting tied in with the record versus a Heisman.
What's your point? I feel like this is a trap question.
Yeah,
it's not a trap question. I feel like I want to. The reason I say it's off the rails is because I want to go back to the Heisman. Because the top three right now are Jaden Daniels, Penix Jr., and Bo Nix.
Because
Travis technically got, until he got hurt, he was in the running.
He was there, yeah.
So
Bo Nix leads in odds, right?
Mm-hmm. If it's a Pac-12 championship shootout between Oregon and Washington, whoever wins that wins the Heisman.
Yeah, I agree.
Where do you rank Daniels? Because technically it's been presented that his stats have been significantly better than the other two.
Yeah, I mean, they're comparable to Lamar Jackson at Louisville. Which I think almost comes back on what you're asking. Louisville was not a good team. Their record was not good.
And Lamar Jackson won it.
And because of the insane numbers he was putting up, he still won it. So although I do agree with Caleb that the record of your team does matter. I think the MVP in the NFL, your record matters way more to that award than in the Heisman race.
Right. I mean, it's interesting because in the NFL, I mean, most places, like a quarter, MVP has become a quarterback award, more or less. And so, but like a Brock Purdy, for instance, who was getting a little bit of consideration earlier on in the year, is on one of the best teams in the NFL, but we're not going to consider him the most valuable player. But like a guy like CJ Stroud on a pretty mediocre team, the only reason why they're better, that they're not in the cellars of the NFL. Like, I mean, he's as valuable of a player right now as anything. I mean,
but
like,
Heisman, it's the best player in college football. SEC is really weak this year. There's a lot of weak defenses in the SEC. Is Jaden Daniels a better player than Michael Penix or Bo Nix? I would say no.
I think he is. And this has nothing to do with how much I hate the Ducks. So I don't hate Washington. But I think Jaden Daniels is significantly better than those two.
I don't think he's faced the same type of competition week to week, though.
Yeah, that's I think not that puts a lot into it. Also, the stats are inflated.
Very fair to say.
The stats are also way inflated by his running ability, which is a big factor. But I don't know. You look at the way that Penix and Bo Nix are playing, I think it's tough to talk yourself out of one of them taking home the Heisman, especially if Washington wins the Pac-12. Penix has four touchdowns and 400 yards in the Pac-12 championship game, puts a stamp on the end of the season, he gets it.
And I think same for Bo Nix.
Yeah, exactly.
Same for Bo Nix. He's looking up some statistics to back his
point. He's looking up the John Canzano tweet is what he's looking at.
Yeah. Did you not find it earlier? Because I thought it was pretty interesting.
No, I did. He just basically said that Jaden Daniels would be holding a clipboard if he was on Oregon or Washington. Yeah.
I mean, but he also named like a bunch of stats that kind of made sense.
It's also irrelevant. If he was on Oregon or Washington, he would be in the transfer portal like he was previously.
Right. Yeah. He's been a bit of a journeyman. Tyler Shuck also leaving Texas Tech.
Yeah. Okay.
Going off to another one.
I'm not saying like I think Jaden Daniels is better. I also liked him at ASU. But listen to this guy.
Oh, he's an ASU guy. I forgot about that. This all makes sense.
Yeah.
But just listen to this guy that responded to the whole clipboard thing. Jaden Daniels leads the country in total yards by more than 800 yards, nearly 1,000 more than both Penix and Nix. He leads the FBS in total touchdowns, yards per carry, passer rating through 11 games. He leads the LSU's offense, which is number one in the FBS, for scoring and total offense. It's not padded by weak teams. LSU has played 70 plays of 20 plus yards against Power 5 teams. The next closest is USC at 59. Against four top 12 teams he's played on the road, he's gone 79 out of 118, 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. And he's led the team on touchdowns in each of his last 13 drives. This guy has basically named every stat that would count for the Heisman that are 10 times more than Penix and Nix. I'm saying that like I'm on completely on board, but he just named stats that would give you the Heisman in a huge gap over the other two.
I think I would argue that, again, I think in rushing yards, definitely he has it. But as far as top 25 matchups, performances against top 25 teams, I think they're fairly similar. I think Penix and Nix have both had very, very good lines against all the top 25.
I just read that he is ahead of them in top 25.
But again, I don't know. I just think the competition that these guys have played in the Pac-12 is better than probably what Jaden Daniels has faced.
A mediocre SEC conference is not anything to sleep on,
but it's not as good
in a multi-loss. I mean, like, when you look at how many losses that team has had.
I'm not going SEC fuck Pac-12, but wouldn't you say a mediocre SEC matches up with a good Pac-12?
Not this year.
Not this year.
I don't know about this year. Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Homers.
Okay, so one more thing about the NFL before we move into our locks of the week, Caleb. When you look at, like, if you're going to predict your Super Bowl matchup, your conference champions, and your winner.
Give us NFC-AFC championship, and then Super Bowl.
Yeah, don't fuck this up, dude.
Yeah.
Don't.
We're
please,
relying.
Please
we
don't
need
fuck
your knowledge.
This up.
We're counting on you to win, buddy.
NFC championship. Eagles over Lions.
Eagles over Lions.
Ooh. You're kicking out the Niners?
Yeah.
Bold. I like it.
Yeah. I love it.
AFC.
Are you worried about the Chiefs? You're not worried about the Chiefs.
I'm not worried about the Chiefs. I think Chiefs over Ravens.
That's what I would pick for AFC.
And then Eagles.
Eagles Super to win Bowl. It.
Yep.
Eagles to Chiefs rematch?
It. Yep.
That would be fun, actually.
It would.
That I would mean, be fun.
You think
the NFL?
You
just
think
is...
Eagles were fucked last year?
Yeah, I think that was a BS call.
What a great Super Bowl ruined by one shit fucking call.
Yeah, and he made it so much worse by saying that he grabbed.
Yeah,
it.
Why?
Like,
why?
What are you doing?
Why?
You know, one thing that bothers me in, especially in the NFL, because you don't necessarily get this animated reaction in college. The thing that fucking wrecks me with the NFL is when guys know they commit pass interference or holding or something, and they do it, and they go,
yeah.
You're just giving yourself up.
Yeah.
Don't react to it. So they hold, and they go, Kelsey
did
it last
night. Same thing with offensive linemen. They do the same thing when they grab people, and then they throw their
hands up. And they throw their hands up. It's like, you're telling the referee to throw a fucking flag right now. Don't fucking do that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's time for our locks of the week. I know.
Dude,
1 second.
So we're going four deep this year?
Four deep.
You're investing $10 or this week?
Yeah, so Caleb is in for 10.
Let's just look at it this way. Are you ready to lose $10?
Are you ready to lose $10?
I've never been more ready to lose $10.
It's a fucking guarantee.
Yeah.
All right, you guys do that and I'll swatch out the card.
We have never been close. Have we even gotten two over one?
Yes.
All right, do you have your pick yet?
No.
Let Caleb go first. We have a guest, for God's sake. Have some respect.
I'm just checking.
Jesus.
You guys aren't going to like this one.
God damn it.
Let's go, Caleb. Tell us.
Raiders.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
I know who they're playing.
+8.5.
+8.5.
Against Kansas City?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God. Why
Antonio
would you do
Pierce
that?
Got the boys fired.
Okay, first of all.
Oh, my gosh.
Who are we?
Who are we?
Who are we to question anything?
Who are we? Seriously.
We have.
I agree.
At this point, we need to start fading our picks.
We're 0-11.
So I'll take that because
I love
it's different.
I love it. Right. Yeah.
I don't.
I love it. Shut up, Peter.
All right. -1. Okay. So, Braxton, you have your pick.
Actually, I want to let you guys go because I'm hoping you'll take one of mine and I can choose the other.
Okay, I have mine. Pussy. I'm going to go with the Dolphins at -10.
That's one of them. Okay, now I'll go.
The Dolphins.
10 points.
Yeah,
but 10? That's a lot.
Tim Boyle is...
10 points.
Tim Boyle is their
Tim
quarterback.
Yeah, I like that.
Away?
Oof.
Yeah.
All right.
That's love a it for lot.
I'm taking the Lions at home, -7.5 all against
right.
the Packers.
I like that. All right,
Miguelito.
+614.
The Lions at home.
The Lions
on
at home.
On Thanksgiving.
So all of you have taken points, right?
So right now, $40 pays $285 at +614.
Ooh,
don't mess it up. We're
going
to win.
Don't mess
Dude,
it up.
Dude, I've carried you guys all fucking season.
No, you
Shut up.
If we were going to do our records, I bet that you'd probably
I bet they're
worst.
All very close.
Yeah.
I bet I've carried both of you.
Yeah, right.
What about the 49ers at -7? Over
Don't
the
tell me what to pick.
I'm just
Can I tell you my three and you guys help me decide?
No.
No.
What
you no. Well,
okay.
No. I just
tell
want
me your three.
I just want my opinion. I want your guys' opinion.
Okay.
I have three.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the Seahawks against the Niners +7.
Oh, you
That's
want
a great
you
one.
Want the Hawks +7.
I am also thinking the Commanders +11 against Dallas.
I like that.
The Commanders,
I like that more.
But the Commanders always play good teams, like tough.
Yes,
Philly, they always cover against good teams.
Dallas.
I like Commanders a lot more than your first one.
And then the third one.
Dallas, by the way, has blown out a ton of inferior
opponents. You don't know
They
shit.
Also lost to the Cardinals before Josh Dobbs.
That's true.
And the last one, I'm thinking Browns plus 2.5 against Denver.
Denver's kind of on a run. I'm a little concerned about that. If I had to choose from those three, I would take the Commanders plus 11 or whatever.
Can I tell you what I'm leaning towards?
Seahawks.
Yeah. Seahawks against the Niners plus 7.
Then go for it. Yeah, it's your choice.
Give me Seahawks plus 7.
All right, you there we bitch. Go.
What's that sit at?
That takes us to plus 1275.
Oh, we're in the thousands?
No. Yeah, that we are. A payout of $550.
At $40?
And 32 cents.
Place it. Stop fucking around.
Well, at this point, I have so little money, I need to...
No, add a Tyreek Hill anytime touchdown.
Don't.
Not going to do any of that. I need to add need money.
Deposit money?
I need to deposit money. I'm so poor.
Dude, that's
That's a degenerate move. I literally have 40 cents in my account.
All right. Well, you can take care of that after.
Yeah.
No, it needs to be placed during recording.
It's going to be placed.
It's placed. It's placed. My gosh. Look at that.
Oh, my God. But plus 1275. And again, that's Raiders plus 8.5, Dolphins minus 10, Lions minus 7.5, and Seahawks plus 7.
Love it.
All right. Quick. Who fucks this up?
Dolphins.
No.
Dolphins.
The Dolphins, fuck this up.
The Dolphins fuck this up.
Yeah.
Tim Boyle's about to go off.
Yeah.
He's not the White Knight. He's not the you White don't know Knight. That.
Goodness gracious.
Caleb, thank you very
much.
Yeah,
thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure.
Why do you wait 3 years for?
We need to make this happen more.
You didn't have anyone eating a baby bird this time.
Yeah.
We don't do punishments.
That would have been fun. I was really eyeballing that hot sauce you guys got in there.
You want to get punished?
punishment. We could do it together. Sitting in here for 2 hours was punishment.
Yeah. Yeah. Hearing us talk over each other for 2 hours is punishment.
Well, he's like, wow, these guys are dumb. Yeah.
I appreciate you being here.
Worst podcast you've ever heard.
Oh, I think you're being way too hard on yourself, guys.
Yeah, we're listened to in 139 countries.
19.
119 countries.
Just 19.
Oh, okay.
Just 19. I was about to say 119.
Yeah. So really, we're a huge hit with people who don't speak or understand English. Massive fucking stars.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, clear eyes.
Full heart.
Get loose.